50 KBMW.
Yes, it is. Good morning. Welcome to Thursday edition here. Another nice morning. Clear sky this morning. 26 degrees is what we're dealing with here. Not a bad way to end the month. Actually, we end the month tomorrow on what is probably one of the longest months ever the year. A lot of people agree with that. Yep. Hey, we are in to talk history this morning, as we do every Thursday, with our favorite historian, Janet Gageland. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
You always roll your eyes when I say that. It is like you are everybody's favorite historian. I've heard that. It comes back.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
I don't think of myself as a historian.
Well, but you certainly are with the stuff that you come up with. And today we're going to be talking about a man named Hans Langseth.
Correct.
Okay. What do you got to tell me about him?
Well, he was from around the Barney area. But his claim to fame was, and you probably find his name in the Guinness Book of World Records, because he was the man with the longest beard. And so, you know, when people look in the Guinness Book, they're going, oh, man, this guy was from North Dakota, Barney, North Dakota, which is like, you know, 20 miles away. And so 1925 is our year. And so in 1925, they had the mayor of Minneapolis come, and many bands and quartets, and it was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, they built a stage on Dakota Avenue and 4th Street, and they had 158 businessmen from Minneapolis accompany the mayor.
Wow.
So it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big
deal. So the main purpose was to measure the beard so that it could be entered into the Guinness Book. And Hans had been growing this beard for about 50 years. Yeah. So
it he had a running start.
Yeah, he did. And it hadn't been measured in 3 years. So this seemed like this could be the time that we should probably take care of this. The man was 79 years old. So it was probably, you know, due.
And had been growing the beard for 50 years.
Yes.
Wow.
So he started growing it when he was 29. Coming from Norway, they always had beards in the wintertime to keep their faces warm.
Sure.
So he thought, well, I'm just going to keep growing this beard and see what happens. And it was kind of a red color and like browns and reds, and was very, very full beard. So
I bet.
Yeah, so he kept growing this beard. And then he came to the United States in 1876 with this beard that had 1 year of growth on it, or year and a half. And so he just kept on growing it. He came to this area, our area, about 1902, bought some land, became a very successful farmer. He traveled sometimes doing sideshows for the circus.
I bet he had a lot of luck doing that.
He did, yeah. And he went to a lot of different places around the United States where they had beard growing contests, and he would win. You know, his would be 17 feet long, and theirs would be 12. But he kind of quit the sideshow thing because people didn't really think his beard was real.
For real, yeah.
And so they would pull on it. Oh. You know, and so he's like, I'm not doing this. I'm going back to North
Dakota.
Enough
of this abuse, yeah.
Yeah, so he came back to North Dakota. But in that year, 1925, then they measured it and got it going into the Guinness Book of World Records. His beard was kind of like a timeline of his life. Here's a picture for you. And this picture didn't turn out too badly.
Wow.
So on that day in 1925, when they were going to measure it, they had this stage, and three young girls carried his beard up the steps onto the platform so that it could be measured. He had it at 17 feet 4 inches in 1925.
That is incredible.
I know. And so you look at the picture, and you can see the very end of it is much thinner than it is, of course, up by his face.
Well, and looking at that picture, he took good care of it. I mean, this isn't like scraggly all over the place.
Oh, no.
This is a good-looking beard.
He rolled it so it would be like dreadlocks.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept it very, you know, together. How do you carry something like that around? You're not going to have three little girls walking in front of you wherever you go. So he would roll it around a corn cob. And then he had like a pocket in, and he would stuff the whole thing into the pocket of his coveralls or shirt or jacket.
What a conversation starter everywhere you go.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, he would, you know, he would do that. And then when he was with the circus, it says that he liked to have the fat lady wash it for him because it was so long.
Mm-hmm.
And also there are stories that say, well, his beard was that long and he was a farmer, so he would measure fence post to fence post using his beard as a tape measure. So was that for real? I don't know.
Maybe. That might be some urban legend with this.
Yeah, it might be. But he eventually, you know, was kind of like, well, I got to just, you know, get out of this thing. I don't want to be in the sideshow anymore. So he just came back. And when he passed away in 1927, his instructions were, don't cut my beard until that time.
Okay.
So before he was in the ground, and he was, I think he went to a cemetery in Iowa where he was mm-hmm. had originally been from. And so they cut the beard off. And then it sat at the home of his son from 1927 to 1967. So for 40 years, it was rolled up in a bag in the attic of the house. And finally, one of the grandsons said, we got to get this to the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. They did the paperwork, and they got the beard to the Smithsonian. And so it's there.
To this day, it's still there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So when I visited with Paul Langseth, some people perhaps know him, I think that Hans would have been his great-grandfather.
Okay.
He said that sometimes when they would have family gatherings, they would allow the family members who did not know this man, mm-hmm. you know, to see what the beard looked like. And so it was incredible to him because it would be like the life story of a person.
Sure.
You know,
if the beard was the timeline, sure.
Yes. And he said you could see, like, when he was a farmer, there were little bits of corn or wheat or, you know, something in the beard that didn't get combed out. And he said it was like, wow, this is a man's life right here that
incredible.
I'm looking at. So they would roll it out onto the table and would be like in a circular fashion, and everyone could look at it and say, this guy was, you know, eccentric, yes.
Yeah.
But still a family member.
Right.
You know?
And talk about leaving something behind.
Yes.
You know, to remember me. Here you go.
Yeah. Right.
And now it's in the Smithsonian.
Yes. Yeah. And who would have thought that in 1925, when they measured it for the Guinness Book of World Records, that took place in Wahpeton. And so there's our claim to fame with that. So.
Unbelievable. That is absolutely fascinating. What do we got next week?
I've got a wreck I think we're going to talk about.
Okay. Good.
A car wreck on the Highway 81, I believe.
All right. We will get to that next week. Janet, always great having you in.
Good to be here.
Great story. I'm loving that. It's 818 here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
You want what you want. At Quality Toyota, we totally understand that we aren't going to talk you into a car you don't want. Instead, we're here to help you find the car, the color, the options, and the style that you do want. All with a simple, easy, and stress-free approach. Because the price listed online or in every windshield is the only price. That way, we can concentrate on getting you the right car. Quality Toyota, West Lincoln Avenue in Fergus Falls. QualityToyota.net.